Open to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. It's not been long ago that we finished up the book of Hebrews, spent quite a long time there. I'd like to go back tonight, though, and actually going to look at some scripture here. Then I want to look at a topical thought based upon some thoughts we'll see here, Hebrews 10. If you have your Bible and you found your place, if you'll stand with us. For context, I want to pick up, I just want to read you a couple of verses in the beginning, then we'll get to where we're going. The Bible says, for the law, Hebrews 10, 1, for the law having a shadow of good things to come. Interesting, isn't it? That the law was a shadow of things to come. And the Bible says good things to come. And not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices, which ones? The ones the law had, which were they offered year by year, continually make comers thereunto perfect. Verse 2, for then would they not have ceased to be offered. If those sacrifices of the Old Testament had made the givers perfect, they would have had to come back. But it didn't. They had to keep coming back. And the Bible says, because this needs to be offered because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. Once purged, no more conscience of sins. Of course, we know that did not happen in the Old Testament. Now, interesting that there are people of the Armenian mindset who believe that we have to continually, and people get saved multiple times and they have to come again and again and again. Just the very, what the Bible infers here, just in this verse would tell you that that's not right. If it had been a perfect sacrifice in the Old Testament, it would have made the giver perfect and they wouldn't have had to come back. And so it is in the New Testament under the New Covenant, under the perfect sacrifice, it was once and forever. That's why that we, anytime we have a cross depicted, you'll always notice on it, it's empty. Okay? Why? Because that's over and done with. Okay? It was taken care of. And while the cross is our penalty was paid once and forever, the perfect sacrifice was offered. Truthfully, for the believer, the born-again believer, and of course we know that an empty cross is a triumphant cross. Okay, it still has a crucifix on it. It's triumphant because it's empty. And it's a sign, so is the tomb empty because he arose and conquered death, hell, and the grave. And so, no more conscious sin. But the Bible says, verse 3, but in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Look in verse number 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. If you ask 90% of the people, how did people get their sins forgiven in the Old Testament, they'd say, well, the blood of bulls and goats. You didn't get your sins forgiven, you got your sins atoned. What's the difference? Atonement means a covering. It covered it, but it didn't take it away. How do you know? Because the Scripture says it didn't. It's not possible that the blood of a bull or a blood of a goat could take away sins. Verse 5, wherefore when he come into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering, thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. Verse 7, and then I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Verse number 8, above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not. Look what the Scripture says. Neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. It didn't please God for that to happen. It did not satisfy that. In other words, it didn't satisfy one thing. It did not take away one bit of the guilt. It was just a covering. Just a covering. And the Bible says in verse 9, and then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Why do we not have an altar where we still offer sacrifice? Why don't we bring lambs in and sacrifice lambs and all the other animals? Why don't we do that? Well, most folks with any Bible knowledge at all know because Christ was the lamb that ended the sacrifice. He was the perfect lamb, and his sacrifice on the cross did away with that. It was fulfilled. He was a perfect sacrifice. Verse 10, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Look what the Bible says, once for all. Once for all. Not again and again and again, once. Just as he said, if they'd had a perfect sacrifice in the Old Testament, they wouldn't have had to come back. But they didn't have one. But in the New Testament, we did have one. And it does not have to be repeated. So the sacrificial system has been done away with, right? Right. But with that in mind, of all of the sacrifice that was offered in the worship and in the system, the Levitical system of the Old Testament, the sacrificial system that was a part of worshiping God. And did you know that the New Testament alludes to us offering sacrifice? Not once, not twice, but four times in the Bible does the New Testament tell us that Christians should offer sacrifice, but of a different nature. We'll look at those tonight. Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray that you'd help us now rightly divide the word of truth to expound the scripture in accordance to the context and according to the mind of God and the will of God for this hour. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you very much. Please be seated. Now, before I move into that, let me just back up. I want to hit this again, okay? A few years ago, several years ago, there was a church in our area, and they had had a great revival. And then following that, they'd had a great man with young people who'd come in and build a great youth program. And so they had built several buildings and Sunday school buildings and gymnasiums, just a variety of things. And just going big guns. And then they got a pastor who was not faithful to his wife and run off. And it just collapsed the church, boy. I mean, it was bad. Problem is, the church is still in long-range debt for this all this stuff that had happened years prior. Because they were the church. You know what I'm talking about? The church. It was before the days of mega churches, but they were the church. If you were anybody, that's where you went. You went to the church. Well, they got to the point that the handful that was remaining, older folks, they got to the point they could not make the payments. And the bank, they're now in the rears. I mean, they're in trouble. They met with the bank, and the bank said, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to suspend the note. We're going to suspend the mortgage. You owe this many hundreds of thousands of dollars, and it's obvious your congregation cannot pay that. So what we're going to do is we're going to enter into an interest-only situation. If you will pay the interest on the debt, you will not be applying one dime toward the principal, but the interest is much less than the principal and the payment would be to combine. And that far into it, you know, when you first start a note, it's all interest. But about halfway into it, about half your payment is interest and half of it's principal, and then it goes declining the other direction. So at the end of it, it's almost all principal and it's very little interest. So they meet each other. Well, there several years have passed, so they're way into it. So when they didn't have to make the principal side of the payment, it cut their payment more than half. And so here they are. They have this big debt back there looming, but the bank has agreed not to call the debt and to suspend the term. So if they had, 12 years left to pay, the 12 years would be reenacted at a certain point in time, and they'd still have 12 years. If it took 5 years of interest only, that's what they were going to do. However long they'd work with them, as long as they had to, to keep from having to put a for sale sign, repossess sign out in front of the church. The bank wanted no part of that. How do you do that? What, you know, how do you repossess a church, and what's that look like? And, you know, this such and such bank got this repossessed church for sale. Can you imagine how that's going to look and what that's going to be like? And, you know, that's just, they didn't want that. So they said, we're going to work with you. Well, can I say it this way? The debt of mankind was ever looming and was calling to be paid. And if I could say it this way, this is not actual, but I mean, this is theoretically what I'm trying to make a parallel here. Metaphorically, I'm trying to say that the blood of bulls and goats paid the interest on the debt. It stayed the righteous hand of God from bringing judgment. It atoned. It covered it. Each year, annually, it covered it for another year. But the debt of all mankind continued to mount, even though the blood ran down Kidron, when Solomon sacrificed and dedicated the temple, they said it ran all the way to the Red Sea. That the blood of the sacrifice ran all the way to the Red Sea from all the temple sacrifice, but not one drop of that blood, not all of the blood combined, ever paid one dime, one penny of the debt of mankind. And the songwriter said, but Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Hallelujah. We on the same page? All right. So when I'm talking about sacrifice in this hour, I'm not talking about trying to do something to stay the judgment hand of God. There was two elements to it. There was that side, especially of those of the sin offering. It was the trespass offering. It was to stay the hand of God. But can I tell you, there was more than that. There was honey involved in some of the offerings. There was a Thanksgiving offering. There was a meal offering. You put honey on it. And there were the unleavened offerings, but there were also offerings with leaven. And there were, so there was a variety of things and that were done other than just blood sacrifice. Yes, without sin, without blood, from sin there is no remission, repeated in the New Testament. We understand that. But the Levitical system, there was more than that. And so if God had blessed you, you could go offer a Thanksgiving offering, and you could offer other things and do other things. And of course, it was from all of that that the priesthood lived. That's what they lived out of. Well, I want to just key on the word sacrifice. Sacrifice. And I want to, from that, let's look at some things. The Scripture, the New Testament, tells us about New Testament sacrifice. Look in the book of Romans, chapter number 12, verse number 1. You know where I'm going. Everybody familiar with that. Most folks can quote it. Don't need to turn there. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Can I tell you, it's just not reasonable for the preacher. It's just not reasonable for the missionary. It's not just reasonable for the evangelist. It's not just reasonable for the deacon. It's not just reasonable for the Sunday school teachers or for the paid staff. It's reasonable for every believer. It's reasonable for every Christian to present their bodies a living sacrifice. But can I tell you, how do you do that, preacher? How do you present your body a living sacrifice? It's a matter of the will, a surrendering of our will. There's a song, it's an older song, and it talks about this love I have for myself. And I listened to the lyrics. I've heard the song a lot, but I never really paid attention to the lyrics. It says, Lord, help me with this love I have for myself. We're born with that. As a matter of fact, if you want to really see that, go in the nursery and watch that love that children have for themselves. They don't have to go to school to get that. They already know it. This kid gets this, picks up something that's been laying there the whole time. Let one kid pick it up. Now every kid in there wants it. Because I have a love for myself and I want what I want. And I want to please me. Okay? I want to please me. I mean, we just got through with a week of boys from 7 to 17. 31 of them. Every one of them with a love of self. And it's amazing. I want what you got, and if I can't have what you got, I don't want you to have it either. They're terrible to break each other's things. They're terrible to destroy each other's things. They're terrible to, you know, and one of them gets something that's nice or whatever, the rest of them get mad at him over it. Or they'll try to destroy it, or they'll try to put it down. Oh, that ain't pretty. Oh, that ain't good. That ain't nice. Oh, we don't like that. You know what I'm talking about? I told you the bicycle story that the brother the year before told. He got a brand new blue bicycle, beautiful blue bicycle for Christmas. Rode it over to his friend's house Christmas morning, knocks on the door. Kid opens the door and he goes, "Look at my beautiful new bike." And he goes, "Eh, it's okay." He goes, "What are you talking about? My brand new blue bike, isn't it gorgeous?" And the kid goes, "Everybody knows all the cool kids, they ride black bicycles." So the kid goes down to the hardware store, buys sandpaper and Krylon spray paint. And he sands the shiny new blue finish off of his bicycle. And he sprays it with a can of spray paint. And he gets some on the wheel and some on the seats. And it turns out it runs and it's flat and it's nasty and it's ugly. And he takes it back down, knocks on his friend's door. And the friend takes one look at it and says, "Are you crazy? What did you do to your bicycle?" He said, "You said cool kids ride black bicycles." He said, "I was just jealous because I didn't have a blue bicycle." He said, "You're an idiot." Said, that's the prettiest bicycle I'd ever seen. Said, "You're an idiot." Said, the kid cried all the way back home for the second time. Our self-will, it's about us. And the scripture says that if we present our bodies a sacrifice. The thing about the sacrifice is when you gave a sacrifice, when you took it to the altar, when you took it to the priest and you hand it to him, you didn't have a leash on it. And as you left, it followed you back out. There wasn't no strings attached. Now, priest, I know that we normally sacrifice lambs, but now this one's special. I really like this one. This one's been really, really, you ought to save this one. You ought to keep this one as a pet. You ought not to, you know, you ought not to do, you ought not do that. You ought not to, you know, this one's special and you don't need to be offering it. And you need to, you know, make sure that you feed it, make sure that you water it, make sure that you comb it. It's used to going to bed at, you know, a certain time. And, you know, we've raised it just like a youngin', and make sure you take good care of it. Now, all right, see you, bye. Not the way it works. When it's a sacrifice, it means just that. You cut the strings and it's done. It's over. Well, so it is with our lives. Now, a dead sacrifice is not hard to keep where you put it. It's those living sacrifices that keep getting up and crawling off the altar. If the Lord has said, give yourself as a sacrifice and you have to be a martyr, it's a one-time deal. You have the courage, the strength, the grace, whatever it is. You give your life for the gospel. Pow, it's over. You're in heaven. You get rewarded. Done. But what if the Lord says, I want you to give your life a sacrifice every day for the next 70 years. And I want you to crucify your flesh. And I don't want you to do with it what it wants to do. I want you to do with what I tell you to do. And I'm not going to tell you in advance what it's going to be, but I want you to do exactly what I tell you. And when you'll know it when I want you to do something. Lord, I'm willing to do this, and I'm willing to do this, and I'm willing to do this, and Lord, I'm willing to do this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And I had surrendered things. I surrendered everything I could think of. And finally come to the realization one day that the Lord didn't want my list. He wanted a blank check. Dear Lord, I surrender all. I will, and sign the bottom of it. Leave the amount, the date, the place, and the time blank, and let God fill it in. Somebody said, well, I'll surrender as long as God don't, you know, let me get cancer. There's no cancer clause in surrender. I'll surrender as long as I'm, you know, got plenty to eat and warm and dry and, you know, there's no warm and dry clause in it. I'll surrender, Lord, I'll surrender as long as I have a United States mailing address. No guarantees. I kid the Bible college boys. I said, yeah, they sing I Surrender All. And Lord, I'm willing to go anywhere as long as I can see Mount Pisgah. That really broadens the range, don't it? As long as I can pastor in Haywood, Buncombe, Henderson, and Transylvania County, as long as it's one of those four, I surrender all, Lord, I surrender all. And sing it out loud. I surrender all. As long as I see Mount Pisgah, I surrender all. As long as I see Mount Pisgah. Little clause in there. Look, you know, got kind of like we got our finger crossed behind it. You remember that? Used to tell something, you had your fingers crossed. And then we got to where you cross your toes. I had my toes crossed. It didn't count because I had my toes crossed. Remember that when we was kids? You promised? No, I had my toes crossed. You know, we got our fingers crossed behind our back. Lord, I surrender all, got our fingers crossed. You can't cross your fingers like you could when you was a youngin'. You know what I'm saying? When they get arthritis in them, you can't cross them as good as you used to. But behind our back, we sing, I surrender all, my fingers crossed. I surrender all, my fingers crossed. You know what all means? You know what all means in Greek? All. It means all. All means all the time. All the time, all means all. Surrendering of our will, which is our body and our all the things that pertain to it. But then, did you know the Bible tells us that we may also worship the Lord? In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 15, not only with our will and by the surrender of our will and our bodies, but by our words, we can sacrifice unto the Lord by our words. Hebrews 13, 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, in case you don't know what that means, he defines it for us. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. The scripture says that it is like a sweet smelling savor, just like that incense smelt good before the Lord, just like that those offerings had a sweet smell to it. The Bible tells us that when we praise God, and by the way, I'm not sure that the praise leader saying, all right, everybody sway to the left, everybody sway to the right, repeat these seven words 11 more times, swing to the left, sway to the right, we really getting it now. All right, everybody pray. And we just had a praise and worship session. That's what they tell me it is. You know what I really believe blesses the Lord the most? You know, if it's my birthday and my wife gives me one of them little smacks on the jaw, a little cheek, you know, kiss on the cheek, and it's my birthday, you know. But sometimes you're sweaty and coming through the house and you're looking for something or you got something else. And she comes up and she just gives you one of those little, kisses on the cheek and say, I love you. And I go, for what? And I'm thinking, what did I do? And then I get to thinking, what has she done? Okay, did she wreck the car? Look out the window. Does the car, you dance on the car? No. Check the checkbook. She's overdrawn the checkbook. Sure as the world. She's overdrawn the checkbook. You know. Why? Those just because things. It ain't got to be a special day. It ain't got to be a special thing. But those little things that mean so much, there's no reason for them. It's just because. Just because I love you. I don't believe it's so much in our congregate praise and worship. But we go down the road and the song will be singing and you'll be singing along with it and you'll say, Hallelujah, Lord. For you can catch yourself. Are at work around them lost people and you're something's going on and you go and you let one of them slip. You know, you didn't mean to, you didn't mean to say it, but it comes out in spite of everything in the world. Well, praise the Lord. And then you go. Everybody looks at you, what? I mean, praise the Lord. If you ain't careful, they'll slip out on you. You see, if you've been praising them in private, they'll come out in public. And I really believe that is a sweet smelling savor unto the Lord. I like it when people get happy in church. Don't get me wrong. I'm not putting it down. I'm promoting it. I'm fanning it, all right? You have my permission to mind the Lord. As long as you don't do the powwow dance, you are welcome, all right? You are welcome. And you're welcome. We'll help you. Praise God. We'll help. God's in it. We'll help you. By the way, if God's in it, we'll all know it too, okay? And if God ain't, we'll know that too. It's pretty obvious. But let's not go there. Let's move on. But point I'm trying to make is that it's when there ain't nobody around to hear you. Ain't nobody else, just you and God. Just you and the Lord. I was hiding in Cairo, Egypt, in an apartment not far from where Anwar Sadat was killed. I was in that part of town where he was assassinated. I had messed my paperwork up. I had made some phone calls out of Egypt in the first Gulf War and had said some things that were critical of the Egyptian government. And I was not there on a tourist visa, and I was not there on a press pass, and I had said some things that were critical of the Egyptian government, and therefore I was in trouble. And I was hiding. And Lazarus was down at the secret police office trying to get it straightened out. And I was pretty nervous. Every time a car backfired, I'd duck. And I couldn't really be outside. I couldn't really do anything. And it was pretty, it was just pretty tough. And this went on for several days, and I couldn't go anywhere. They had to bring me everything, and it was just really hard. It was pretty scary. You never knew when somebody was coming upstairs, if it was coming to get you. You just didn't know. Finally paid our way out of it. That's all it was. It was about money to start with. We paid our way out of it and got out of it. But I can remember the little old balcony, and it was dark. It was getting dark. And I'd been inside. I felt like I was going to die if I just didn't get some air. I stepped outside and it was hot. And I stepped outside and I looked up, and it's hazy there. You can't really see the stars and the moon. But I looked up at the night sky and I just started singing, How Great Thou Art. And something that never happens in Cairo happened. It began to sprinkle rain. And big old cold drops of rain hit me on the face. And I was standing there singing to the Lord, and that rain hit me in the face. It didn't rain. You probably couldn't have counted 50 raindrops all over the whole place. But it was as if God answered me. It was just me and God. I couldn't sing it loud where everybody could hear me. I was singing quietly. But I was just singing to the Lord out there on that balcony. And that rain began to fall, hit my face. I'll never forget that. I don't know how much I've actually worshiped in my life. We've been to worship. We say we go worship three times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But I can tell you that day I worshiped. I was worshiping him, and he did that for me. I believe it was for me. I believe it was his assurance for me. Because I didn't know I was coming home. I never did know. I didn't know till I landed in JFK that I was coming home. I never had no assurance I was coming back. It was one of those trials of my life that God said, you go and trust me for the difference. But I never had any assurance. I kept a diary the whole time because I felt like if I was killed, that, at least my family know what happened. I kept a detailed diary of everything that happened. My life insurance, because I went into a war zone, my life insurance was canceled. I had to have Lloyd's of London insure my life. The airplane, I flew into Saudi Arabia, and then and from there traveled by car up into Kuwait on that mission, trying to find that pastor that had been killed. We didn't know he'd been killed. We was trying to find him, and had to pay $300 extra on the plane ticket because they had to insure the 737 with Lloyd's of London because it was flying into an active war zone. There was a Scud missile in the hotel, the casing of a Scud missile that had killed all the men in the barracks in Dahran, Saudi Arabia. You know, we did have casualties in Saudi Arabia. Scud hit the barracks. I didn't know if I was going to live or not. But boy, I remember that, just God letting me worship. And that song always, ever since, that song has been associated for me. I never hear it. I never hear it sung. I never hear it played. I go back to that moment. And it's fresh. You know what I'm talking about? Can I tell you that it's well pleasing to the Lord? Now, I'm not necessarily talking about in public prayer. I'm not even necessarily about talking about down to the job. I believe occasionally just under your breath, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. Bless your name, Lord. I had one of those today. I come down King Road, pull the car over. There was that pole up on top of that tower. I said, Lord, I've been set to stop sign for 3 years praying for that. I got out and took a picture. I said, I want to remember this moment. Somebody said, that ain't no big deal. Boy, it was to me. Hey, when you get to worship God, it's a big deal. You hear what I'm telling you? Put it down. It makes news in heaven. Hallelujah. When you get to hear from heaven, when you hear from heaven, when heaven hears from you and you hear from heaven, hallelujah, it's a big deal. And don't ever take it for granted. I'm talking about the sacrifice of our words, the sacrifice of our will. We talked about the sacrifice of our words. Let's look on in the next verse, in verse 16 of Hebrews 13. The Bible says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. The Bible says, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. How pleased is he? Well pleased. What did he say about the Savior when he came up out of the River Jordan? He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Same phrase. The same commendation that God the Father had for God the Son in his incarnate, when he was incarnate in the Jordan River, hallelujah, has the same connotation that he says about us doing good works. Us doing good and communicating not. The Bible says to do good. Baptists are scared that people will start saying, well, it's not, you know, you know what our favorite verse is? Our favorite verse is Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. But especially the latter part of 9 where it says, and not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, we need you to come to the work. And the Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Need you to go on a mission trip, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, the gutter's falling down, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace needs a boy, not of works, preacher, not of works. It's grace, not of works. And you get to the point you say, yeah, but if you don't do a little work, you ain't gonna have no place to go to church to enjoy the grace. Somebody gotta fix something. In other words, we're just about to go to seed on that part. We are not saved by works. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But read the next verse. Read the next verse. For we are his, workmanship, which God hath before ordained unto good works. Is that right? It's exactly right. You don't work to get saved. You work because you are saved. It's part of the natural flow and the natural expression and the natural progression of a child of God is to do right and be happy about it. I heard Brother Ray say one day, he said, I'm a separated independent Baptist, but I ain't mad about it. And just died laughing. About, Brother Jordan, I don't know how it is down your way, but up here about 2/3 of the independent Baptists mad about it. You say, yeah, I'm saved. Saved, separated, sealed with the sweet Holy Ghost. Loving it. On my way to heaven and loving every second of it. Don't you ever think otherwise. Okay. Little boy went out to the barn and Grandpa was sitting on the porch, and Grandpa was sitting there and he had a big long face, and he said, Grandpa, what's the matter? He said, I got religion. The boy said, okay. Went out to the barn, took a look at that old mule, and that old mule standing there, old long face. He come back to the house, told his grandpa, he said, Grandpa, that mule's got religion too, just like you do. Old mule face, old long, you can have a little heaven to go to heaven on. I'm talking about our works, praise him. Our work is a part of our worship and sacrifice of praise. Amen? And so, New Testament sacrifice, our will, Romans 12:1. Our words, Hebrews 13:15. Our works, Hebrews 13:16. Then I want to give you one more. Book of Philippians, chapter number 4, verse number 18. The Apostle Paul is sending a love letter to the church that he dearly loves. No rebuke to it, not like the church, not like the letter to the Corinthians, not like the letter to Galatia at all. He loves the church at Philippi. It was his first European church. It was his first folk. It was his first church when white people got saved. And man, he loved it. Lydia and the Philippian jailer and all his family and that whole bunch. And he's writing a letter back to him in Philippians 4:18. Epaphroditus has apparently, and I think I'm right when I say this, it happened more than once. The church at Philippi sent money and followed him down the coast of Europe into Greece and gave him money when he was in Corinth. The church at Philippi took up an offering and went and sent a delegation, sent an actual representative, and sent them to Jerusalem to support that cause and that mission cause in their poverty. But the best we can tell, they've took up money again in the midst of everything they got going on, and they've sent an offering now to Rome by the hand of Epaphroditus to take care of the apostle. And the Bible says, but I have all. This is Spirit of God speaking through the Apostle Paul. And abound, and am full. Saying the same thing multiple times, multiple ways. I have all, abound, full, all, same thing. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. I had a fella call here one time. It was during Share-a-thon. And he said, well, you keep talking about giving to the Lord, giving to the Lord, giving to the Lord, but you keep giving your mailing address. He said, you keep talking about giving to the Lord, but then you give your mailing address. And it just hit me wrong. And I said, so what are you saying? And he said, well, you know, I ain't got a problem giving to the Lord, but I ain't giving it to you. And I said, well, you're not giving it to me. He said, no, I'm talking about your church and your ministry. He said, that's not giving it to the Lord. I said, do you get paid on Fridays? He said, yeah, what? I said, when you get your check cashed, this was before EDT cards and debit cards and automatic deposit and all the other, we used to actually have green money. Y'all seen that stuff? It's different denominations, and you probably don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, used to be different presidents on them and stuff. It was dollar bill is a dollar and a five, and it was a 10 and a 20 and a, I can't remember what the others were. I think there was a 50, and somebody said it was 100. I never saw one, but they said it were hundreds printed one time. And this old, oh, I know it's ancient history, but I told him, I said, get your check cashed. And I said, when you get home, go outside. And I said, fire up your grill. And I said, you figure out what a tenth of your wages was. And when that grill good and hot, you lay them on that grill and you give them to the Lord. He said, I ain't doing that. That's defacing federal currency. I said, your issue is not, you ain't worried about the Secret Service coming and charging you with a defacing currency. That's not what you're worried about. You ain't going to give it to 3232 Hendersonville Highway, and you ain't going to give it to God neither. I said, that's your problem. I said, set it on fire and give it to God. He said, well, that would be crazy. I said, that's right. It would be crazy. I said, but instead you find a church that's feeding people. You find a church that's going around the world with the gospel. You find folks that's helping. You find somewhere that's helping people. And I said, you invest it there in the name of the Lord. I said, that's the principle. He hung up before I could talk to him a whole lot more. I was wanting to talk to him about it. He didn't have a tithing problem. He had a soul problem. That's what he needed. He didn't need a lesson in tithing. He needed a lesson in salvation. That was his problem. But he hung up when I started that direction. When I turned the corner, he hung up. And so that was the end of it. Never heard of him again. But can I tell you that every Sunday morning when those traditional offering plates are passed and God's people sacrifice, they give of their wealth, they give a portion of their income. The Bible says that it is a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now, I don't know a whole lot, but this one thing I do know. Ray Aiken said, Christianity 101, entry level, give God the first day of the week. Give God the first fruits of your increase. And give God the first hour of the day. And he said, you'll grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's just basic, pure old basic Christianity. Have a walk with the Lord, be in the house of God. Give of your wealth, give of your increase, and spend time with God in prayer, in Bible study, in Bible reading, in memorizing Scripture. And even through the day, I mean, the good thing is you have radio stations, multiple channels and multiple stations now, whether it's worshiping while somebody's preaching on the preaching channel or while a song's being played on the music channel or something else that's going on the AM and soon to come the FM or WGCR.net or any of the archives of the preaching channel. There's a whole lot of ways that you can take it with you all day long. You don't have to stop at the end of the hour. You can worship God all day. I had a fellow tell me not long ago, said, I turn it on at work And I put my earphones in and I do my work and I listen all day, every day. I said, friend, you listen more than I do. He said, that's the truth. He said, I am one of your most faithful listeners. He said, I listen 8 hours a day, every day of my life, Monday through Friday. And he said, you know what I miss when I don't work? I miss the radio. He said, I'm busy on the weekend and stuff. But he's away from here. He listens over the internet. And he said, I miss the radio. He said, you just won't believe how much, what a time me and God have had at that computer. He said, we just had a time. It's well-pleasing to the Lord to meet financial needs, our wealth. It's well-pleasing to the Lord to do right and to do good and to communicate not. The Bible says, sacrifice to God, well-pleased. Our wealth, our works, our words, the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And then the sacrifice of our will, giving our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord. I'm glad, hallelujah. I'm glad that I'm not charged. I'm glad I wasn't born a Levitical priest. I'm glad I'm not charged with that. I'm glad I'm not part of that system of butcher, systematic butcher every single day. I'm glad I'm not part of that. I'm glad Dalton's not a part of that. He'd be a dropout in the priesthood, sure as a world. We'd have to send him after firewood or something. I don't know what we'd do with him. He's too squishy. He's too squeamish. I don't know what we'd do with him. I mean, it'd be bad to be a Levite and not be able to get into the priesthood, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be rough? It's your time, son. You get to go to the temple. It's your time. I don't want to go. I can hear it now. But I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not real big. If we ate it, we caught it, cooked it, killed it, whatever. I mean, I think it was when my son gut shot a deer with buckshot. It wasn't even in buckshot. It was, I don't know what he's using, but he gut shot a deer and he's trying to get me to save it. Well, Daddy, don't throw all that meat away. And so I was trying to save it. And the more I cleaned, the more sicker I got. You could give me a pack of venison out of your freezer. I still can smell that. I still can smell it. Just about broke me, you know what I'm saying? I still can smell it. If you've ever, some of you don't know what I'm talking about, I hope you never do. I hope you never know. But the further I go, that whole thing of fresh, killing a chicken on Saturday night, picking it and eating it Sunday morning, there ain't near as much romance in the good old days as everybody talks about. Amen? I, for one, like running water and indoor toilets. I just like that stuff, I'm pretty spoiled to it. The good old days. Hey, kids, they tell you about the good old days. They weren't quite as good as they talk, okay? There were some good things about it, but there were some pretty rough stuff that went along with it. But I'm glad to tell you that the Scripture says that all of those things, He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.